This podcast is brought to you by St. Joseph's Episcopal Church in Boynton Beach, Florida, in the United States of America. You can find us at stjoesweb.org. Come visit us when you are in town.
Let us pray. Lord, the psalmist tells us in the psalm for today, that which is our prayer. May the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, Lord God, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Please be seated. Those who are not against us are for us. Lord, does that open the kingdom of God? Wow. This lectionary cycle, the first reading, I know we only do the gospel at Unplug, but the first reading assigned for today is one book we don't get to hear much about in the three-year cycle of readings. It's the book of Esther. And if you've got a Jewish background or follow that, Esther's a very famous one, and they celebrate a great feast day for Esther. But it's an interesting thing about the book of Esther because it's controversial in the different Christian denominations as to whether or not they accept it into the Bible or if they considered to be sort of what they call an apocryphal work, that we're not so sure if this one was divinely inspired or not. And the reason is this. The reason is in the book of Esther, in the original, there was never a mention of God. And this upset some of those who redacted and edited the scriptures, and so they decided, you know, we gotta add in some God talk here. And so they added some verses. So when Esther's going to do something, they introduce some verses that she talked to God about at first, kind of a thing. And so for that reason, some of the Bibles either don't include Esther or they put it in a separate section called the Apocrypha. But there's an important point here that Jesus is making at the beginning of the gospel today. If you're not against us, you're for us. As if to say, the book of Esther doesn't have to mention the name of God, because if we're following the book of James, that's the New Testament reading, that if your works speak volumes about what's going on inside your heart. So it's a very interesting phenomenon that is going on. It is largely due to the wisdom and humility of Esther that in that story, if you know it, the whole people of God are saved from being annihilated. So there is something incredible there. So the first call is, we got to think a little wider, as our signs say for all the Episcopal churches. All are welcome. All are welcome. No exceptions. Now, the second part of what Jesus has to say today is, takes it to the next level for us. So I want to talk about that a little bit, and I begin with a story. And it's the story of my fourth grade science project. Now, moms and dads, if you have kids or have had kids, you know what science projects and science fairs do to you. Here we go again. What are we going to do this year? Right? It was the same in our household. There were seven kids. And of course, none of us wanted to do what somebody else had already done in the past, so there's only so many ideas out there. Well, I think it was my brother Mark that came up with this idea, and I had goldfish. And you know, with goldfish, if you've kept them, you have to put this little drops into the tap water that takes the chlorine out of the water, because otherwise the fish dies. So the premise of the experiment was, can a fish learn to swim in chlorinated water? That was my project. So this is what we did. You fill up the bathtub with water. You know those the little droplet things that you put in there that takes care of the chlorine. And then you put the fish in there with an adequate amount. And each day, you reduced the amount of non-chlorinated stuff that was in there. So it's a very gradual introduction of chlorine. And 2 months later, after my brothers and sisters are ready to kill me because I'm monopolizing the bathtub for seven people to do this experiment for my fish, we finally get to the day when we're not using any drops of the dechlorinated substance anymore. And guess what? The fish survived. The experiment was a success. Now, I didn't tell the 930 folks this, but we went to the science fair, and somebody, I don't know who, put something into the water, and it killed the fish. So can a fish live in chlorinated water? The poster on my project says, and there's a dead fish floating at the top of the aquarium. But anyway, the point is this. It's a gradual introduction of poison. Jesus tells us today to be salt. I think we all know what the chemical compound of salt is, NaCl, sodium chloride. They're both poisons by themselves. Sodium, you get too much salt in your diet, you get too much salt water, you're gonna die. Chlorine, you get too much chlorine, whether you're fish or human, you get too much chlorine that you take in, you're gonna die. So you put the two together, though, and you stay in the middle, and voila, you become that salt that Jesus calls us to be. The point here is there are things we decide, and maybe we don't even decide. We just start slipping and let it happen. And it doesn't seem like, it's not that big a deal, but it derails us a bit on our spiritual journey. And now the next time, it's a little easy to go a little bit further. And before you know it, that poison has been so introduced into us that we become that poisonous substance, and it becomes very hard to get out of it and go back. So the call that perhaps this gospel is giving us is to make sure we're staying in the center. Those things that Jesus talks about today, it's not literally to poke out your eye or cut off your foot or your hand, but it's to look at those things in my life, the hand standing for the actions that we do. What am I doing with the actions in my life that are helping others as opposed to doing bad things? The foot symbolizing the journey that we are on, the walk that we are called to be on. Well, where is that walk taking me? Is it taking me in directions that are going to lead me to be that exclusive type of person that Jesus is saying to the apostles today, that's not it? That if there are some that are in, then there's some that are out? No, all are welcome. The minute that one group is no longer welcome, well, then it's just logic that then there's going to be another group that's not welcome, and we go from there down a very difficult path. Eyes, the vision that we have. Is that vision one that is in accord with what Jesus would have us striving to become as an individual and as a people? And all of those things add up to not just a warning, but sort of a encouragement to stay focused. Not letting the poison in, but letting us be that salt that we're called to be. Salt. We all know about salt, huh? And we use that phrase in our own language. We say, oh, he's an old salt. She's an old salt. She's a salty kind of character, isn't she? And to me, that connotes a person who just kind of lives life the way they live it and says it as it is. They're comfortable in their skin. And they're going to tell the truth whether you want to hear it or not, right? And there's a part of that that's important, that as imperfect as we are going along on this journey, this is what we are called to be, to give flavor, to give some spice. We're not called to be milquetoast Christians, are we? And that can be a challenge at times when we're trying to do that. I ran across this statement from William Dawes. It's important to recognize that there's a cost to being salty. This is probably why Jesus says, have salt in yourselves, but also says, be at peace with one another. Being salty may indeed enable us to discover a kind of inner peace rather than being at war or uneasy or embarrassed or feeling guilty about the salt we are, but in family, in church, and in the world, saltiness irritates and stings, but it also can heal. It can send our blood pressure soaring for those who prefer a flatness and a blandness that they can control or manipulate. So, given all of this, I referred at 9:30 to our presiding bishop's sermon that he gave, and I commend it to you because you can Google it and you can get it on the web. They're doing their bishop's meetings right now this past week. They had to do it virtually because of COVID. And he gives the opening sermon, and Michael Curry talks about where he is right now on the journey. Bishop Brian Pryor, who organized the meeting, asked him, where are you? And he says, I feel like I'm in the narthex. Y'all know the narthex is the entranceway foyer of the church. And he says, I feel like I'm in the narthex. And they began to explore that concept and came to their own realization in prayer that that narthex is that space that separates sort of the sacred space of the church from the secular world. And as we are in that narthex, in the situation we find ourselves in our world right now, it's a liminal place. It's not a certain place where we're going to go from here kind of a thing, but there is that call to being that salty person and truthful person in the midst of that. So it's with that as sort of a background, I ran across these questions in relation to this gospel that I want us all to think about today. What do you know of your own saltiness? Of ways in which you let yourself be your saltiness and ways in which you deny, dissemble, or even disguise it? How do you avoid, dilute, and hide the salt you are from colleagues, from friends, even from yourself? And what does it do when you keep that salt inside yourself? How does it rust and corrode and create a terrible thirst and even raise blood pressure and produce stress? Think of a relationship important to you and ask yourself, what does your saltiness add to that relationship, or might it add? What would being the salt you are require of you? What might be the price of being more than bland and blah? And if you've lost touch with your saltiness, forgotten it, left it behind, how might you recover it? And what do you know about the balance of those two toxins that you are as salt, sodium and chlorine? What is happening when your out-of-balance self poisons those around you as well as yourself? How do you achieve the balance that keeps you from being too salty or, on the other hand, dull, stale? And how do you encourage others around you to be their salt? In what ways do we welcome the saltiness that they can, in the end, season and enrich our lives? We're called to be salt, to give flavor to the world. I want to end today with a short poem by Roy Sharp. that for me sort of captures the essence of this gospel, especially as Jesus encourages us not to be a stumbling block, but a stepping stone. It goes like this. It's called a bag of tools. Isn't it strange that princes and kings and clowns that caper in sawdust rings and common people like you and me are builders for eternity? Each is given a bag of tools, a shapeless mass, a book of rules, and each must make, before life has flown, a stumbling block or a stepping stone. May we be that salt for the world. Amen.